Okay, this evening then, it's our intention to take a look at Isaiah 63, verse 1 down through verse 6. And I'm taking the title for the message in a form of a question that is asked in verse 1. Who is this? Who is this? Who is this? Well, we know the answer, because we know this book is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this that cometh from Edom, from the place of the enemies? Edom was the descendant of Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And he cometh with dyed garments from Bozrah. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling, moving, going, coming, in the greatness of his strength. Our God is not weak. Our Savior is not weak. He's mighty to save, in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, and he is the Almighty God, mighty to save. Thank God he's mighty. Thank God he's almighty, because of our sin, our guilt, and our depravity. Great sinners need a great almighty Savior. Now, Isaiah is not asking this question out of ignorance. He's writing under inspiration of God, but rather out of an overwhelming amazement that our great and glorious Lord God and Savior would undertake such a glorious and redeeming work on our behalf to save us and make us new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the commentators that I enjoy reading, after Robert Hawker, who lived back in the 1800s, 1850, about in there, said of this chapter, and I've read him several times on this chapter, "Never was there a more glorious description of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ than is given here to the church in the language of prophecy." This is written 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh. 700 years, so many years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to actually accomplish all that is written of him. The whole Old Testament says someone is coming, and that someone who is coming is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, as it said in Isaiah 53. Now we know that all the prophets of old, beginning in Moses and all the scriptures, they all testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember from our study in Acts chapter 10, "To him give all the prophets witness." All the Old Testament prophets say the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is coming. Isaiah, the gospel according to Isaiah, and then Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Habakkuk, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Malachi, Micah, all the prophets tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming, who he is, and what he has done for us. What he has done for us. A child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. The declaration of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not what we must do for him. That's not the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is what he has done for us. Our salvation is dependent upon him, not upon us. Not upon us. It's what Christ has done for us. Our salvation depends entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing all things for us. The law of God honored, every precept. In his death, the penalty of the law honored. All things accomplished, the law of God satisfied and done in such a way that's honoring to the Lord God Almighty. He said, "I didn't come to destroy the law and prophets." He said, "I came to honor the law of God." And that's what he did. He did that for us in such a special way. Don't turn, but let me read this to you. I didn't write this down. Let me see if I can find it. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. Isaiah 42:21. The Lord, God the Father, is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. The Lord, Jesus Christ's sake. For He will magnify the law and make it honorable. And that's what He did. He accomplished all salvation for us. Righteousness fulfilled, redemption fulfilled, the law of God honored. Now, let's take a look at this amazing question and then answer the question that the Lord gives us. He asks the question and then He answers His question. And let us pray that the Lord will bless His word to our understanding, that we might rest alone for all of our salvation in Him. Rest in Him. Christ is all and in all in Him. In Him alone. I was rereading and looking at this again this afternoon, and this phrase caught my mind down in verse 16, the last part of verse 16. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting to everlasting. He's our Father. He's our Redeemer. He's God, our Savior. God, our Savior. Christ is all and in all. And we are complete in Him. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Behold, He cometh. Behold, He cometh. He's on His way. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in His apparel, traveling in the greatness of His strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. There's a question, there's an answer. Now, who is this one who returns from the battlefield glorious? Well, the answer is obvious, isn't it? To those who are taught of the Lord, it's none other than our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the captain of our salvation, who is bringing many sons into glory. He is our blessed Redeemer. God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at that name every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the captain of our salvation. He is our mighty Redeemer. He's a mighty conqueror. Remember from our study in the Revelation, I told you this is one of the key verses. Revelation 6, verse 2. And the whole Revelation is about the glorious victory the Lord Jesus Christ wins for us, who accomplishes all things for us. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. The same one that's talked about and revealed in the Revelation is the same one that's revealed in Isaiah and all the Word of God. All the Word of God speaks of him. The mighty one, he's the mighty one who cannot fail, the victorious one who has never, never lost a battle. He's been in a lot of fights, a lot of battles, but he's never lost. He's a victorious Lord. He comes from the battlefield, not worn out, weak or tired, nor weary, but traveling in the greatness of His strength as a mighty God, as a Lord of all the earth. Who is this one? Who is this one that comes as He does? Listen to this scripture. Thou shalt know that I, the Lord, and thy Savior, thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. He's the Almighty God, sitting upon the throne of absolute sovereignty. Who is this one? The Lord inspires Isaiah to ask this question, and then gives us this glorious answer. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Can the Lord Jesus Christ do otherwise than to speak in absolute righteousness? Seeing He is righteous and holy in all of His ways and all of His doing. Seeing He is the Lord, our righteousness. You remember how He's revealed in Isaiah chapter 6? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Therefore, He speaks. He can always speak in righteousness because He's holy. And everything He speaks is right. And He brings in for us everlasting righteousness by His faithful obedience unto death. I that speak in righteousness. He speaks in righteousness, for His word is without deceit, without defect, without any error. It's impossible for God to lie. Psalm 33 says the word of the Lord is right. So He speaks in righteousness, and He speaks of righteousness. He speaks of righteousness. Our lack of it, you remember from Isaiah 64, look just across the page. Isaiah 64, verse 6. He speaks of righteousness, that is, our lack of it. We are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We're all as an unclean thing. There's none that calls upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, thou the potter. We are all the work of thy hand. Shut up to the sovereign mercy of the Lord. Have mercy upon me, the sinner. He speaks in righteousness, and He speaks of righteousness, our lack of it and our need of it. We need righteousness. Now, I know this. I'm not real smart, but I know this. According to the word of the Lord, we cannot produce the righteousness, because Isaiah and David in the Psalms, and Paul quotes it in the book of Romans, chapter 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. And that includes you, and that includes me. He speaks of righteousness, our lack of it, and our need of it. Remember, our Lord said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. He is, thank God, the revealer of righteousness. That He is our righteousness. The righteousness of God that's revealed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we read over here in Philippians chapter 2, but don't turn, let me just read this to you. You remember, Saul of Tarsus was such a self-righteous Pharisee, going about to establish the righteousness of his own, not submitting to the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. But when the Lord revealed Himself to old Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul, He said, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." He is our righteousness. That's what the gospel reveals unto us, that Christ is our righteousness. Turn back one page. Look at Isaiah 61, verse 10. Isaiah 61, verse 10. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornament, as a bride adorneth herself with jewels." Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Without works. Turn back to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Turn back over there. Isaiah 45. Verse 21 says, in Isaiah 45, "Surely shall one say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. Even to Him shall men come, and all their incense against Him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified by His grace, we know, and shall glory." Turn one page. Look at Isaiah 46, 12 and 13. Isaiah 46. "Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion, the church, for my glory," for Israel, "my glory." So He is our righteousness before God. How righteous do I need to be to stand before God's holy law? As righteous as God. How can that be? Only in Christ. Only in Christ. Now, the second thing, who is this? Who is this one that comes to save? In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Who is this that comes? He speaks in righteousness. And then the second part of this, mighty to save. He's mighty, mighty, mighty to save. He is our almighty, almighty Savior. He's almighty. There is none. He said in Isaiah so many times, I am the Lord, remember? I am the Lord, beside me there is no other. I am the only just God and Savior. He is the almighty God. Don't term it. Revelation 4, remember this scripture. The four beasts, each of them had six wings about them. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, and is to come. He's the Lord God Almighty. None beside Him. Satan, we know, is a mighty adversary. We know that he has some power given to him by God, but he's not a rival to our Savior. Our Savior is almighty. He's the almighty Savior because He's almighty God. Mighty to save. Able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. Remember the way the Lord prayed in John 17, Father, You have given me power over all flesh, and I should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to me. He is mighty, mighty to save. Look down at verse 5, Isaiah 63, verse 5. He says, I looked and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to help. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury, my zeal upheld it. His own arm, power, brought salvation. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, and in that gospel is the very righteousness of God revealed. His own arm brought our salvation. His own power accomplished our salvation. Look down to verse 8 in Isaiah 63. For He says, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. They will not lie about who He is and what He has done. For it says, so He was their Savior. Call His name Jesus, He shall save His people from their sin. No other salvation but the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is all their salvation, all of their righteousness before God. He's the Almighty One to save. He will abundantly pardon. For He is God, our Savior, and surely there is salvation in no other. Salvation in a person. Salvation not in a church. Salvation not in a pool. Salvation not in a profession. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the only way. Again, the Lord is plainly declaring unto us that salvation is of the Lord. I'm all your righteousness because I'm the one who is mighty to save. I'm all your salvation. I'm all your righteousness. I'm all your pardon. He purposed it, our salvation. He accomplished it. He said it is finished. And then He applies it. What part does the sinner play? In the accomplishment of it, nothing. He finished the work alone. We're going to see that in just a minute. Now look at verse 2. He asked another question. Wherefore, Isaiah 63:2, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? Here we see the mighty conquering Lord Jesus Christ coming from the battlefield, His garments dripping with blood. I have trodden, the answer comes back, verse 3, I have trodden the wine press. And here He's talking about the wine press of the wrath of God. And of the people there was none with me. He by Himself put away our sin with Himself. For I will tread them in mine anger, trample them in my fury, talking about the enemies of the gospel. and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. Did he need any help? Not from man. I wondered that there was none to help. Therefore, my own arm, my own power, brought salvation. He bought salvation and brought it with his own blood. And my zeal, my fury, it upheld me. Now here we see the Lord of glory not only clothed in majesty and power and greatness as a mighty God, but we also see the Lord dressed in his humanity. For he is the God-man mediator. Isaiah sees him clothed in the garments of a servant, red in his apparel. Don't turn back, but let me just read it to you again. Remember, we read from Philippians chapter 2, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, treading the winepress of the wrath of God, a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He died such a horrible, shameful death, being made sin for us. This was all in God's purpose. His garments at his transfiguration were white as snow, whiter than any fuller on earth could whiten them. His robe of righteousness is fine linen, clean and white. We've seen that in the Revelation. But red here, red is a color of man. Red is a color of man. The word Adam, God created that first man and called him Adam, means ruddy or the red man from the earth. Although white and holy by nature, he took our humanity to himself. Fully, totally God, fully, totally man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So red is the color of man. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the second Adam. The second Adam from heaven. Red is also the color of sin or of redemption from sin by his blood. Remember from our study in Isaiah 1, verse 18, we had this a few weeks ago. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, red, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's what he's done for us. The God-man mediator made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can put away my sin? Not my works, not my prayers, not my repentance, not my profession. What can put away my sin? Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Christ in him crucified. He not only took our humanity to himself, made in the form of a servant, but he also took our sin to himself. Now this is the amazing thing of the gospel. The one who was holy, harmless, undefiled, the one who knew no sin, who did no sin, who had no sin, as the God-man, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, and yet it says in the Word of God, that he bare our sin in his own body on the tree. It says in 1 Peter 3:18, Christ also once suffered for our sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. Now, how was this done? How was this holy God-man mediator made sin for God's people? That's what happened upon the cross. It wasn't what men were doing that day. It's what God was doing that day. It pleased God to bruise him in our room and in our stead. This is God's Lamb that's taking away the sin of God's people. We are redeemed with his precious blood. We are redeemed with his precious blood. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He's our righteousness. He speaks in righteousness. He is mighty to save because He is a mighty God. And He does this through His blood atonement, shedding His blood for us. Look at verse 3. The winepress that He has trodden alone by Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ endured the winepress of God's wrath. He endured for us as our substitute. He says that in Isaiah 53 so clear, doesn't it? He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. He surely hath borne our grief, carried our sorrow. We did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. Healed. That's what's going on at Calvary. We see the Lord Jesus Christ immersed in the wrath of God against our sin that God made to meet on Him. God laid on Him the iniquity of God's people. And it pleased God, as it says in Isaiah 53, let me just read it to you, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see of the travail of His soul and be satisfied. Is God the Father satisfied with the atoning death, the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He satisfied? Absolutely. How do we know that? When He by Himself purged our sin, He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Accepted. God raised Him from the dead. Delivered for our offenses. Raised again for our justification. Because the Lord endured this for us, putting away our sin, making complete atonement for us, now in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's how much wrath left for us? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if He stands as my substitute, and He did, and made complete satisfaction for the sin of God's people, and He did, and God punished our sin in our substitute, and He fully made complete satisfaction for those sins, is He going to punish us again? No, sir. That makes Him unjust. If the payment is already paid, He's not going to turn around and punish us again. That can't be. The Lord Jesus Christ made complete satisfaction to enable God to be a just God and Savior, to enable Him to be just and the justifier of those that believe in Christ. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He challenges heaven, earth, and hell. It's God that justifies. Who is He that condemns? It's Christ who died. He's already paid the debt, paid the ransom price in full, shedding His blood to put away our sin. And He accomplished this Himself. He says, there was none to help. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. He didn't need our help. Verse 5 says, there was none to help me. I wonder, it wasn't a wonder of a question. He was even forsaken of God. All the disciples and apostles forsook Him. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury, my zeal, it upheld me. There was none to help, none to help. Salvation the Lord accomplished for us was His doing alone. Christ wins the victory alone for us. All He's doing, all His eternal purpose. Let's turn back and read this again. I think it's in Isaiah 44. Turn back over there. Isaiah 44, verse 21. He is our righteousness. He is our Redeemer. And He's mighty to save. Isaiah I want Isaiah 44. Is that what I told you to turn to? Verse 21. Isaiah 44, 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Who blotted them out? Who put them away? Who obtained eternal redemption for us? Thy transgressions, I blotted them out as a thick cloud. As a cloud, thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Who did it? He finished the work God gave him to do. Remember? Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forest, and every tree. Therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, his covenant children, and glorified himself in Israel. The Lord alone has won the victory for us, hasn't he? All of our sin, cast into the depths of the sea, cast behind the back of God. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind my back. That's what God says. Their sin and their iniquity God will remember no more. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ made complete atonement for all the sin of God's people. Completely put them away. It says this in Isaiah, many places in Isaiah, but in Hebrews 9, verse 26. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, did he get it done? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to make salvation for us a possibility. Nor did he die and shed his blood to make salvation something possible or put us in a savable state if we meet certain conditions. How many sins had you personally committed when the Lord Jesus Christ died? How many sins did you personally commit when the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sin? Well, you weren't even in existence. But God took all the sins of God's covenant people and made them to meet on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he fully answered the demands of God's law and justice, satisfied them, put them away. That's full atonement, full payment, full redemption. And we have in him redemption and righteousness. That's what we need to stand before God, and we have that fully provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. My own arm brought salvation, and my zeal, my glory, it upholds me and God's covenant children all the time. Everywhere, all the time. Thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory in him. The victory over sin, he put it away. The victory over the law that's against us, that's contrary to us, he satisfied the law of God. Our sin put away, the law of God satisfied, Satan defeated, death to the believer. He changed the character of death to the believer. The wage of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Lord said, because I live, you live. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. You see, when we depart this body, we don't die. The redeemed soul goes to be with the Lord. We sing that song, this robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise.